Blog Talk Radio.
Shake for a shake. I'm throwing these Emirates in the sky. Spinning this awesome llama. Make them pizza M-O-N-E-Y. I love my beaches. South beaches. Surfboard and high tide. I can just roll up cause I roll up. So that birthday cake is the Cobra. Bugatti for real, I'm Cobra. The autobiography rover. Got the key to my city, it's over. No stops, only in the color Cobra. I said rackets, wretched, hold up.
I said rackets, wretched, hold up.
I know you came here to see. By limousines, my touch say it's the Midas. We the plush on man, the minus. My team blowing on that slam, make you cough, cough, that's bronchitis. Put your hands up, it's a stick up, no more makeup. Get that ass on the floor, ladies, put your lipstick up. Double entendre, double entendre. Why you hating? I get money, then I double up tundra.
I know you came here to see.
What up, what up? Harrell here. Hump day with Harrell. It is Wednesday. Man, what a cool night we have in store tonight, huh, Rossi? We got the Hand family. Hello?
Unmuted. Okay, sorry about that. I messed up on the keyboard.
That's all right. That's all right. But, hey, man, what a great night we have in store for us. Joey Hand, you know, multiple champion in car racing in IMSA. And he's won the 24-hour Daytona. He's won so much stuff. It's insane. And he had a gnarly wreck back in the day, too. I don't know how long ago that was, but it was a pretty scary crash. We'll talk to him about that, too. So stay tuned tonight. It's got me, Harrell. We got Chris Rossi. That's Chris Rossi. And we're going to have some fun tonight. We'll hopefully Phil Hand, our flat guy, is going to call in, too, Joey Hand's brother. We'll have the whole family. We're going to have Chase on. We're going to have Audrey on, I hope. We're going to have Phil. We're going to have Joey and maybe Pops. I don't know. Probably not Pops. So he might be a little scared. Come on to my radio show. But we're going to play a couple commercials, play a song, and we'll be right back with Joey Hand Racing. Thank you.
And little girl from Sweden dream of silver screen.
gotta mute me though.
Karting Championship is coming to a track near you. This organization is focused on growing the sport of karting at the grassroots level on up. All aspects of the series are based and focused around the racers. Come out and support local racing at a track near you. For more information, go to www.kpxracing.com. That's www.kpxracing.com.
fingers counting, we have each 9 planets around the sun appear. Eight fall the last if you triumphant be. 7 oceans pummel the shores of the sea. It's a typical situation in these typical times. Too many choices, yeah. It's a typical situation in these typical times. Too many choices. Everybody's happy, everybody's free. Keep the big door open, everyone will come around. Why are you different? Why are you that way? If you don't get in line, we'll lock you away. Sense of sound, 4 seasons turn on and turn on. I can see 3 corners from this corner. 2's a perfect number, but 1 round. Everybody's happy, everybody's free. We'll keep the big door open, everyone will come around. Why are you different? Why are you that way? If you don't get in line, we'll lock you away. Everybody's happy, everybody's free. We'll keep the big door open, everyone will come around. Why you different? Why you that way? If you don't get in line, we'll lock you away. Situation in these typical times, too many choices, yeah. It's a typical situation in these typical times, too many choices. We can do anything about it, too many choices, yeah. It's a typical situation in these typical times. Too many choices.
Nevada Kart Sport, 1220 East Gregg Street, number 17, Sparks, Nevada, 89431. Rodney Rivera has been involved in karting for over 20 years. Rodney does driver coaching and tuning, and has won over 15 championships tuning and coaching drivers over the years. Rodney is also a dealer for Burrell, Tony Kart, CRG, and Atal Kart. So for all your karting needs, call Rodney at Nevada Kart Sport, 775-219-4184. That's 775-219-4184.
Crawling in my skin, these wounds, they will not heal.
What up, what up? This is Harrell here. How you guys doing? We got songs on there that I don't even know we had. I don't know where Rossi finds these songs, but, man, he finds some good ones. How you guys doing out there? We got Chris Rossi. We have got Chase and Joey Hand on the phone with us. How you guys doing tonight?
I'm good, man. Really good.
All right, all right. Glad you guys are finally making it.
Chase is right here next to me. He's just not – Chase isn't talking so much, but he will.
He's a little shy.
He's, right
here. He's a little shy. We'll loosen him up, though. We'll loosen him up. By the end of the show, he'll be just running the show.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. If you people out there don't know Joey Hand, you should probably just hang up the phone or get off the radio, or because if you don't know who Joey Hand is, man, you're crazy, because he's a local guy from Sacramento that, man, just went karting as a kid and just kept it going, man. You just made a career out of it. It's amazing, actually. And you guys, when you first started out, did you guys own the Prairie City when you first started out, or did that come later?
Oh, no, that came a lot later. That was only, you know, 5 or 6 years ago I did that. But, no, I mean, I just, you know, my dad was my mom worked for the state. My dad owned a used car and used tire and used wheel place. And some guy came in 1991 and said, hey, my dad was racing stock cars, like dirt late models around Placerville, Petaluma, and some guy was like, hey, Les, you know, you should check out these go-kart things since you got these kids, because we all worked at the shop. Me, my brother Phil, my brother Jeff, we all always worked at this tire store. He's like, man, I see you got all these kids. I just saw these go-karts out at Davis. You should check them out. And so we rolled out there. My dad was kind of overspending a bunch of money on late models and blown-up engines. So he's like, let's go check it out. And the next week we went down and he bought like four go-karts, one for him and one for all three of us, from an old named George Barros, who the old school people will know George Barros, but he had a shop down at Hercules, and went down and snagged some go-karts. And the next weekend we were at Dixon driving and just putting in laps, just laps after laps. And I tell you, that was the end of 1991, and I haven't done anything since. That's what I've done since 1991, man, put in laps.
Man, well, that's what you got to do, though, to get to the level that you're at. I mean, that's the kind of things you got to do, right? I mean, if you're not doing that,
I think,
you're probably not going to make it to that level.
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, a lot of people don't totally understand about racing, you know. I mean, when you look at Major League Baseball players, you see a guy, it's like, oh, man, Buster Posey, he's good. But, you know, he didn't just become good. You know, he put in a lot of reps. You know, he was just – he's dedicated his life to it since he was probably – you know, whatever, 5 years old or who knows what age, but
right.
Yeah, you know, the same with racing is, you know, it doesn't just happen. And Chase was playing baseball, which I enjoy a lot of baseball also, but he was playing baseball at a younger age. Wasn't totally into racing at his younger years. We drove a little bit, but wasn't totally into it. And then, about 3 years, I guess it's been 4 years ago now, I said, okay, let's sign up for baseball. He's like, no, don't want to do it. I said, well, we're going to do something. You know, we're going to do some sport. He's like, well, I don't want to race.
Keep busy, right?
I'm like, yeah. He's like, I want to race. I'm like, well, just let me tell you, you know, like racing's a big thing. You might miss a birthday party or seven. You know, you might miss some fun stuff, but you have to dedicate yourself to racing. You got to throw those. I always say here, it's, and a lot of athletes say it, but it's all about the reps. You know, you got to be able to put in reps. And, you know, fortunately for us, we have a lot of help and sponsors, and all my old sponsors from back in the day have helped Chase out a lot. So we can, it helps on some of the money stuff and burning down engines, burning down tires and go-karts, because that's the difference. When you throw a baseball, you just go out and throw a baseball, you know, and catch it and hit it, and it doesn't cost a lot of money to do it. But when you're racing, every lap, every rep is a dollar figure. You know what I mean? You can
right.
absolutely
sure.
quantify it. So, yeah, you have to be. It's a little more to it to racing. You got to be. You got to have a family that can do it and dedicate time, and you have to be willing to do it. So, but there's no. Many people have asked me, what should I tell my kids, or how should I make my kid the best or a race car driver? I'm like, well, I don't have the answer, but I can tell you two things. You need a lot of laps or a lot of reps, and you got to win. And that is. It's as simple as that. Figure out how to do
because
it.
Because they're over it if they're not winning. They're not up front and doing their thing if they don't want to run around in the back. Is that what?
Well, I mean, no, I mean, just
or?
If you're talking about making a career out of it. Yeah, if you're
oh,
doing it
gotcha.
As a hobby, I mean, I don't care. You you can absolutely love racing and not be winning every week. That's not an issue at all. But when people come to me and they're like, hey, I want my kid to move up through the ranks, how do I do it? Well, you know, when Chip Ganassi looks at – when he's looking at guys, you know, Chip says it every week, I like winners. Hashtag I like winners. You know, I mean, that's what stands out the most to people. So from – but the best thing about – from what I love about karting is that you don't have to be a career racer. You know, you can enjoy karting for what it is, a great family sport where people help each other and you learn about respect for others and for your equipment. And, you know, there's a lot of things to learn from it. If you go on to be an engineer or a school teacher, it doesn't really matter. But if you're going on to be a career racer, you know, like some of us have, it's about reps and you got to put down that winning percentage, you know?
Right, right. Now you got started like kind of, got into the car thing. You've been trying for a while to get into the car thing, right? And then it's like finally happened for you big, you know? I mean, you didn't go big right out of the gate, right?
No, yeah. I mean, so if I started in 91, my first car deal was in, I got to drive a sprint car in 95, actually. So, I mean, I did, but I, you know, in between 91 and 95, I probably did more races than anybody's ever done in a go-kart in those 5 years. You know, I was doing 8 classes, 10 classes a weekend at some races, and we only took 2 weekends off a year. We raced on Christmas in Phoenix. We raced on New Year's in Phoenix. We didn't race Mother's Day, and we didn't race some other day. But Thanksgiving, I spent almost – I think I spent 9 or 10 Thanksgivings at Riverside at Adams Kart Track. We ate at the Denny's right there in Riverside because that's where the state championships were every year on Thanksgiving.
No
so
kid.
We were racing all the time as a family. So, you know, I put in a lot of races in that short time, and then I got in a sprint car and a midget, and, you know, it was like, oh, boy, what am I going to do? I'm 16 years old, 17 years old. How do you move on, you know? And there's no good – there's really no actual specific way for a person, but – I ended up in that sprint car midget, and then that didn't look right. And I ended up some friends of ours that were real close with us at the time, the Rashashin family, they bought a race car for Formula Mazda for me to drive and let me do it on my own. And me and my dad prepped it ourselves in our garage, and we went racing. I won a race that year, and that turned into a sponsorship the next year in Formula Mazda. And that turned into winning a championship, which was in the Toyota Atlantic, and it just kind of kept going. When I won the Formula Mazda Championship, that was a BMW test, and that's where my BMW came from. I tested with them. They liked me, and boom, I went to sports car racing. So it's just you got to have – it's. I always tell the kids it's really about capitalizing on opportunity. Whether it comes or not, if the opportunity is there, you have to capitalize, and that's all I really ever did. I got a couple free tests. Hey, how fast can you go? And when they said, how fast can you go? I went fast. And they said, we like you also, and you're fast. Come drive for us. And I was just fortunate at that time to have those opportunities where those tests were even around, because that stuff doesn't happen a lot anymore, if at all. So
right.
Just a lot of hooking things together, man. You know, I went to races. I didn't sit on my couch. You know, as soon as I got a license, I was at Laguna Seca every year talking to Chip, talking to Kim Green, talking to Bobby Rahal. And it's funny how it comes around full circles. I chased those guys around their scooters when I was 17, 18 years old down at Laguna at IndyCar race. I'm like, hey, Chip, Joey Han, just want to let you know I drive this. I'd love to drive for you one time. Remember my name. Said the same thing to Bobby Rahal every time. They're like, this guy, who is this guy? Mike Hall. I watch them. I knew where they'd go from their bus on their scooter to the transporter. And I'd stand there and be like, okay, got Chip. Okay, got Bobby. And then what do you know? Next thing you know, you know, later on in life, I'm standing at Bobby Rahal's house helping him cook steaks on his own personal barbecue. You know, so
no kid.
It's crazy, crazy how it works.
So
really
persistent.
Crazy.
You got to be persistent, man. You're gonna get no a lot more than you're gonna get yes.
Oh yeah,
right?
Persistence for sure. But you know, like a lot of people always said, you won't get any calls on your couch. I'm telling you right now.
Right.
You can hope that that's true, that you're so good that somebody's gonna call you while you're sitting on your couch. But I can tell you right now, it's not how it works.
Right. It might happen like once in 3 lifetimes, you know?
Oh, yeah. I used to wear, you know, before we had unlimited calling and unlimited calling is cool, I remember wearing out my Nokia phone on my AT&T unlimited plan I paid for, and I was like just burning down. If I drove somewhere, I was calling somebody. I don't care who it was.
Right.
You know, like Jeremy Shaw, who runs the Team USA scholarship, I called him every week. I called Kim Green. I called Brian Hurd. I called everybody I had a phone number for. I was driving. I was calling. Just calling. How you doing?
Big part of how you made it? You mean, is that a big part of it? You know, just being in their ear and they're going, okay, fine. Okay. Here's your chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it wasn't even just like begging for a job. It was just like, hey, just want to let you know what I'm doing. I'm over here. I'm doing this. I got this deal. I might have won this race. I got second here, whatever. It was just about that. It wasn't just the
right.
race car people. It was my go-kart people. You know, Art Verlinger
right.
from RLV VLR, he's my first sponsor ever. RLV, he's sponsored
Good.
Since 1992, still sponsors me and Chase right now. And I still talk to him, you know, quarterly, let's say once every 3 or 4 months, and now even more, once a month. But we keep that relationship going, and you know, I mean that's the kind of thing. It's not just the people you want to drive for; it's the people that have helped you. You know, I was always trying to be on the phone and just updating. Nothing more than a simple update. But you know, when you go win a race, then, and maybe you're talking. Let's just talk about Chip Ganassi. You know, I'm winning a race in the lower level category, and he happens to be sitting on the pit box for an IndyCar race. Waiting for IndyCar practice to start, and he's like, oh, wait a second, that's that Joey Hand guy that keeps burning me down. You know, he actually won a race. That's cool, right? So
nice.
it's just being in people's, you know, just having them recognize a name. And you know, luckily I had an easy name to remember. Hey, I'm Joey Hand, can't forget it.
Right.
Watch for
and
me.
You got personality too. I mean, they're looking for personality too. You can't be the little jerky kid and be going places, you know what I mean? They don't like that anymore, right? It's not about the bad boy,
yeah.
image, you know what I mean?
I mean, people have done it a lot of ways, right? But, you know, I'm not going to lie. I was more probably like Chase when I was younger, and I was pretty quiet and didn't say a whole lot. And, you know, but then you have to, you know, my dad and mom pushed me to, you know, be more open like everybody does with their kids. You win a race and they put the mic in front of your face, try and be respectful to who helped you, your parents, and remember your sponsors. And you got to start somewhere. You don't just become charismatic. Not saying I am, but you don't just have a knack for, you know, speaking right away. You know, it takes some time, but
right.
The more you do it, for sure, the easier it is. And you start to recognize, you know, it's easier to when you're going to go drive for BMW factory or Ford factory, I can tell you right now, when you get in front of their clients and their board members or their, you know, people that buy a BMW or a Ford or whatever, they're definitely looking at having a guy that speaks well and has a clean cut, good attitude. You're going to have a better chance in those things. And, you know, driving is definitely one part of it. And winning is a big part of it. But at the same time, I've learned that having some knowledge of race cars or go-karts or, you know, how things work has been always very important for me. And being able to talk to people has been very important, even if it's for people, you know, just understanding where people are from and what they do, and, you know, having respect for that and having a conversation about their stuff as well as your stuff goes a long ways.
Right. And that's what I do on the show. You know, that's why I have the kids on all the time. I've taken kids like, let's say who, like Steven Eisert, for instance, you know, when he first came on the show, he was like very quiet and, you know, just kind of soft-spoken, and now he gets on there and he's like, hey, buddy, how's it going, man? How you doing? All
yeah.
right, I like being, and he's just all about it, you know? That's what I kind of use the show for, you know, with the kids, to give him a little head start on that kind of stuff.
He's a good kid. He spends a lot of time at our house here, so I know him well. Chase are buddies. So he's one of the kids I know more than probably any of Chase's friends, and, you know, for a younger guy, he's younger than Chase, he's actually a really good wheel man. You know, always impressed by how he jams it in there and stuffs it in there on people, and especially for his age. But you know, at the same time, I tell Chase, I'm like, I don't like a lot of kids, right? And he's on my list of people I do like. So, you know,
right.
he's totally respectful, always really nice here, and he's always welcome here. So,
right.
He's
you know what that's
me?
That's
a... He's he's come from, you know, I know his background. He's loves NASCAR and, you know, got into racing. His grandpa, his dad got him in a go-kart and, you know, kind of that dream scenario where he just was a NASCAR kid, knew all the cars, all the drivers, and then got to go drive. And then he took advantage of it. I mean, he really takes advantage of his opportunities to go racing. So
right,
I think that's
right.
Pretty cool.
Right. So, you know, not the kid that can go far, you know what I mean? Being like
yeah.
that and
yeah.
doing that. So I mean, that's an amazing story. I like how, you know, it wasn't just handed to you, you know, usually it's not, you know, when it comes to racing, but I mean, you were persistent. You made it happen. You know, you weren't taking no for an answer. And, okay, I'll talk to you next week, you know, and I'll talk
yeah.
to you tomorrow. And, I mean, it's huge, you know, that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely, my parents are a big part of it. You know, we were able, my dad focused a lot on, you know, having everything right. And, you know, my mom was always working so that we'd go racing. My dad was always working so we'd go racing, you know, like a lot of people. And, but at the same time, we were all dedicated to go do it and learn. You know, we learned a lot together, and it's really what I love about karting is that you learn as a family. You learn how to lose, you learn how to win, you learn how to get over stuff. You know, because and I always tell Chase, you got to have a real short memory in racing because you lose more than you win, and that's just the facts of it. You know, in racing, you definitely lose more than you win, so you got to have a short memory. And you know, if you didn't stick that pass for the win and you're like bummed about it, thankfully in most situations, not necessarily right now, but in most situations you get to go racing next week. So,
right.
You get
right.
another shot at it, but
you know, I've always
learned.
Said that you have to learn how to win gracefully and you got to lose gracefully, you know, cause you're going to lose a lot more than you win.
I definitely don't promote liking to lose here.
right.
You don't
no
like
doubt.
To lose here. I won't say that. That's for sure.
Right.
But
no, I don't know anybody who does.
You do know how to get through it and get better and learn something from it. And that's something I learned. I was told it never made sense to me at a young age, but you got to learn every experience. But I'm like, how do I learn from something and how I lost, you know? But there's definitely something to, we try and I learned it. It took me a long time, but you know, we got to debrief on stuff. Like, what happened here? Like, was it you? Was it the go-kart? Was it, you know, was it something I did? You know, talking about chase racing. And that's the same thing
right.
I do every week. Same thing we do it at our race team. We sit down. We don't just brief for races. We debrief every single race in the form
right.
of written reports, analyzing data. You know, what did we do wrong? Fuel load, pitting, whatever. But, you know, in go-karts, it's the same thing. Did we start with the right air pressure? Was it you? Could you have made the move? Whatever. But it's always something to learn. Always something to learn.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you listening out there, kids? That's huge right there, man. Always. You're always learning. Even when you're losing, you're learning. When you're winning,
right.
you're learning. You're learning. Learning. That's what we're supposed to do. But,
yeah.
Shoot, what you got a Sebring? 12-hour, right? You won. The Daytona 24, you won.
Yeah.
And the Le Mans, did you win Le Mans too?
Yeah, we got.
Yeah.
Just short of doing it in the same year, which was going to be a pretty big feat, but we missed Le Mans in the year that I won Daytona in 2011, then won Sebring 2011, and then got third at Le Mans that year, but then ended up winning Le Mans in even a kind of a cooler situation, winning with, you know, Ford on the 50th anniversary of their win in 66. I mean, really, hard to even explain how cool that was. I mean, just nobody
right.
expected that to happen. And, you know, Ford did, you know, built this Ford GT just to come back and win Le Mans at that race. It was 50 years to the day. Etzel
wow.
Ford was there. Etzel Ford was 16 years old in 1966, standing there on the pit lane with his dad, Henry Ford II. I'm standing there on the pit lane in 2016. He's telling this story. I haven't been here in 50 years since we last won. And I'm like, well, I hope we can do it for you again, Etzel. And wouldn't you know, I end up hugging Etzel Ford at the end of the race because we won. So just a an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. And I mean, to win Daytona in 2011 overall, that was with Chip. That was my first race with Chip Ganassi. I was just a fourth driver, and you know, just have great memories from that with Scott Pruitt and having a great stints in that race. And yeah, I've been lucky. I've been in the been winning some big races. Chip always says,
right.
Chip always called Mr. Big Race is what he called me. I was like, okay, well, I've won
hey,
some other races too. I've won Long Beach and I've won Lime Rock and I've won other races. He's like, yeah, but you tend to win the big
Long Beach is a cool one. Long Beach is a cool one, man. That's a good race.
My favorite.
That was a cool track. I went there some years back just to watch the racing and it was so sick. It was amazing.
Definitely one of my favorites. I always wanted to win there. It took me a long time to win there, but ultimately did. But that's absolutely one of my favorite races in the world. Favorite venue, if you will. Just the, you know, having people, the LA vibe, people in the streets and people eating at the, you know, the hamburger joint, literally
right.
12 feet from a race car or PF Chang's
right.
or, I mean, it's all right there. It's crazy. I mean, you're doing 165 miles an hour right past PF Chang's parking lot. It's just, I mean, Monaco, yeah, but it's definitely the American Monaco, I'd say. Favorite race.
That's great, man. That's like Isle of Man just racing through town. You know what I mean? It's like doing 160 miles an hour right through town. It's like if you make a mistake,
yeah.
There's consequences. You know what I mean? There's heavy consequences and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Always. Yeah.
Right.
For sure. That
speaking
definitely
of,
separates people
of,
when you got walls.
Right? It's just like a road course with go-karts, you know, when you go down to Lancaster, you know? It like
absolutely.
It separates people. You know, people that may dominate over here, they go down there and go, whoa, I just went through the barrier and the curb was right there.
Yeah.
You know?
When you're a millimeter away from bending a tie rod at Apex or not, you know, that's the difference. It really
right.
changes your outlook on things for sure.
Right.
I love street
no
love street racing, love parking lot racing, go-karts with hay bales in Laughlin, Nevada, and I did Elkhart, Indiana, and Quincy in the Park, and man, my most fun racing of my life was street racing go-karts, parking lot races. Loved
bad.
It. Pismo Beach.
Right.
Pismo Beach. We ran the Pismo Beach Grand Prix through the parking lot of the beach of the pier and back out on the Highway 1. Try that on.
I remember
yeah.
that. I remember that was the
awesome.
Late 90s, wasn't it?
Was that the first
that
and only?
That would have been like 96, 97. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I remember
mid
that.
Late 90s. Yep. They did it 2 years, two different configurations. I ran 13 classes the second year in one day. 80 shifter and 4 stroke. We won 10. I'll never forget. I tell the story all the time. We ran 13 classes, won 10. I think we got 2 seconds and a third. I'd never driven a 4-stroke till that day and borrowed the 4-stroke.
Really?
Natalie's dad, my wife's dad, built 4-strokes. We used 4-strokes from him to race that thing. It was crazy.
Oh,
man.
Your wife race, right? Didn't your wife race?
Oh, yeah. We met race. We've been together since I asked her out in, like, pit spot number 2 at Prairie City when we were 16 years old. We've never
no
been
way.
Apart since.
No
yep.
way.
She started
That's
racing
amazing.
When she's 12. I started racing when I was 11. Very similar time frame. Thankfully, she raced 4-strokes. I raced 2-strokes, so we never raced against each other because it probably would have ended it pretty quickly, the relationship.
Yep.
But
you
would have
been all, you can't beat me.
Yeah. We've never gone there. Never raced each other, ever.
That's good.
But
that's
she's
good.
A wheeler. I'd put her up against anybody. I'd put her up against you.
Oh, man,
sure.
Don't do that. Then I'll just be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Well, I remember her.
Sure.
Embarrassed me.
The mom race at Prairie City in the rental carts. She tore it up.
Oh yeah, she still has the wine glass from that. The KPI
Did
race.
Really?
Yeah, that's the mom winner wine glass. Still using
yeah.
it. For sure.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I knew that. I wasn't there for that. Unfortunately, I was racing that weekend, and when that came up, I'm like, oh, this is a must. Until they kick you out because they know who you are, but you got to
right.
do that. So. I wish I would have seen it. Yeah, it was
right.
good.
It was a good
she
race,
really.
Man. Well, I mean, a good race that she just would have said later.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about consequences and stuff. I know you had a bad crash there a while back. It was in the BMW, I think, right?
Yep. Yeah.
What happened with that deal? I mean, I've seen it 100 times.
Yeah, well, honestly, I wasn't that hurt from that. I mean, it seemed like I was going to be hurt, but I had a concussion from that, but I survived that one pretty well. I had a big one in Toyota Atlantic where I broke my back at Milwaukee Mile just before safer barriers, but luckily just after they mandated the Hans device. So, you know, 2002 is the first year of Hans devices, and I had a shock fail entering turn three and then came all around, stuffed it straight in head first. They said there's no way I would have survived without a Hans device. So actually got sponsored by Hans device right after that. They're like, you know what? You're going to be our poster boy. You survived the first one where we tore a tether, and you should not have survived this without a Hans device. So you're our guy. So, but yeah, you know, I've been through some stuff. I mean, luckily, keep in mind, I've done a lot of racing, and I've had two or three big ones, one that really hurt me, one that looked really spectacular but didn't hurt me. So, you know, you're going to have it when you race it, you know, 10 tenths, which is kind of what makes Natalie nervous, is that's kind of the way I go. I kind of forget, like, I race to win and that's it, you know. It's going to happen, you know. But, you know, the one on the Milwaukee Mile was a failure. I've had a couple – I've had a brake failure at Watkins Glen one time, and, you know, that's not your fault, but you know, it's just what happens, you know. You're going to have – the things are going to happen. So, but you got to be ready for that, you know. I mean, if that makes you nervous, you're in the wrong gig, that's for sure. So you got to be able to switch it to race mode every time you go out.
That's what I always tell people, man. I said, like, racers, they have a way of, like, you know, and athletes, you know, a period like that, they just got a way of turning off the brain, man.
Yeah, you know, and I say it's probably the wrong thing to say switch it off, because I don't even consciously do that. You know, I am out there to win. I'm out there to put the fastest lap in, and I automatically go to that. It's not like I switch modes, you know. I leave the pits, and boom, you're gone. Some people have different methods. Some people meditate. Some people have to think hard about it. But for me, as soon as it fires up and I do a burnout, like in the race car, I leave hard out of the pit box. It's go time. You know, go-kart fires
right
up. I go out, slide into turn one on cold tires. It's go time. It's like a automatic switch.
That's what I was kind of taught. It's like as soon as you see your butt in that thing, it's on. It doesn't matter if you got cold tires. It doesn't matter what it is. You're going as hard as you can every time your butt sits in that seat.
Yep. For sure, man.
No cruiser warm-up lap. You're not cruising. You're going as hard as you can every time.
No.
So, shoot, what happened when you broke your back? Was that? You said that was a failure. Was it a brake failure like that?
No, it was a shock. Right rear shock failed and just completely collapsed. And so it went into turn three wide open. It was flat at that track at that time and just spun and went straight into the fence. So just end up going all the way around straight in nose first. It's crazy. It was a big one.
Wow.
It was a bad one.
How
broke
fast
my
are you
back.
Going?
Three vertebrae, tailbone, left leg, a couple ribs. Pretty gnarly.
Yeah, I remember seeing you at Laguna Seca after that wreck in a back brace and crutches, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I was working on
an
Atlantic car back then. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I did an interview. I was – My car ended up being driven by Buddy Rice. They brought him in and drove it. And I was there, but I was in the announcer's booth and doing commentating with him. But yeah, I had a full back brace, crutches, left leg cast, the whole thing. But yeah, I got through it.
Did,
I mean, that
did
was
you black out on
my,
that one? Did you black out on that?
No, I was
like
awake the whole
out?
Time on that one. I was awake the whole
you
time.
Were, so you,
I knew it. I told him immediately on the
it.
Radio. Yeah, Natalie was the team manager. I said right on the radio, my back's broke. Send the ambulance. My back's broke.
Really?
For sure.
You knew right out the gate.
Oh, I knew right away. I spit my front tooth, piece of my front tooth. I spit it through the fence in Milwaukee. It's still out there somewhere.
Oh.
I was so short in the front of the
you
car so much. Yeah,
wow.
Short in the car
wow.
so much. I was like only 3 feet from the cyclone fence on the wall.
Yeah.
Never forget it. Yeah.
And then what happened at the at the on your BMW, that was just like someone kind of pinched you off or something, right?
Yeah, he just got, it was racing for the lead in the last lap, and dude got under me and cornered me, and got to the infield, and the infield had just got this new road put in there, and it was like 6 inches higher than the grass, and just got ass over tea kettle, as my grandpa would say. It caught the diff housing on the edge of the asphalt and just flipped it over forward, man. I mean, just never would see that come. I kept my foot wide open. I was like, I'm going to wreck this guy. He just wrecked me. You ain't seen the end of me, man. I'm coming for you. I was just going to break so deep and clear us both out. Done. And then I was
throttle.
Oh, I was wide open throttle. And then I saw that, and I'm like, uh-oh. And then I'm like, still wide open. This is probably the best thing. I heard in motorcycles, if you go wide open, it's nose up. If you hit the brakes, it's nose down. I want nose up. But it didn't matter. I hit the rear diff housing, and just kicked it over, and then created one of the most spectacular crashes YouTube's ever seen without staging.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one where you're like, wow, did he make it through there? And I already knew you did, but it's one of those that you look at.
A lot of people thought I was in bad shape that day. So
pulled it off clean, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
I was out there.
But...
I had bruises. Oh, gosh. I had seatbelt bruises everywhere, man. It was crazy. I couldn't walk that night for 4 hours. My limbs were all stretched out, lost a shoe and a glove. It was a mess.
Oh, shit.
Total mess. Yeah, total mess.
That's pretty gnarly. That's pretty gnarly. Hey, Chase, are you there?
Chase is here.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, how you doing, man?
Good.
All right. We've been talking to Pops the whole time, man. I haven't forgot about you, buddy. Let's talk about you for a minute. What's your worst crash? Have you had a bad crash yet? Have you had anything that was, like, gnarly? And Pops, you know, do you have anything that scared you with your kid behind the wheel?
What do you say?
I got ran over the back of one time and, like, pulled a ligament in my wrist, and that's about it.
Yeah, that was like Prairie City, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Turn one in Prairie City, one of those starts, he got run over and hurt his wrist pretty bad. But, you know, I'll tell you what, it's way more difficult to watch your kid than it feels like when you're in the seat. You know, and my daughter drives also, Kaylee, and she hasn't raced yet. But even just watching her I remember the first day watching Chase's first race at Prairie City. He actually started on the pole, I think. And I was like, well, here we go. And it's almost more difficult because Natalie's cutting off the circulation in my arm because she's grabbing on so hard to me watching races. So, but, yeah, I mean, it's crazy to watch. But, yeah,
I don't know how you guys do it. I really don't. I don't know how you do it. My daughter swings too high, and I get nervous. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm with you,
like,
man. I'm with you, but I don't know. I definitely have gotten better at letting it go. I'm letting go a little bit. So, you know, I feel pretty good. The safety of go-karts have come a long way from my day of racing. You know, the width of the carts, the bodywork around them. I mean, you can throw it in there pretty hard and not have a real big wreck, you know. So that's what I'm trying to teach him. You know, you just, like I was taught in sprint cars, you got to get them with the rear wheel. Don't get them with the front. Your commitment. Commitment is key. Jam it all the way in there. If you're gonna do it, jam it all the way in there. Don't do it halfway.
Can't be. Right. That's when you get hurt, right?
Yeah.
And you're hesitant.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Chase, you won a championship already, right? Chase has already got a championship under his belt, right?
Yeah. Three.
Three? And how many years have you been karting?
Three.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
you got him in two and four stroke, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, we start out doing micro swift and four stroke stuff, and then this year he's going to move. We're going to do. Last year we found out that trying to double up on classes, he wasn't quite strong enough in his first year in the junior ranks, you know. So we bailed and ran bailed on the two-stroke stuff mostly and just ran the four-stroke stuff everywhere. And I'm a big believer of the big fan of the four-stroke stuff, and you know, the style that KPX and the clubs are kind of adapting. You know, people, I think people rush a little too quickly out of low horsepower stuff, and they don't learn how to drive. And so I'm a big fan of running low horsepower first and then moving on. You know, we got plenty of time to go run shifters or high horsepower X30s or whatever, you know. So, but, yeah, so we did a whole – most of the year last year in four-stroke, and then we're going to hit the two-stroke pretty hard. But I think we're going to double up. He's gotten pretty strong, although now this the whole coronacation, I don't know if he's – he's probably lost some neck strength like all of us. But we're going to try and double it up most of the year. No? Yeah. We've been out. I've had him with his helmet on, laying on the bench doing neck exercises, old school. But still, there's nothing. There's nothing like straight up racing, you know. But
right, no doubt.
We'll have
a
go of it.
Chase, you got a workout program with Pops? Are you on a workout program?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Good. At least it's sometimes. I like kids, and that's what you got to do, man. These days, you know, because that's what other kids are doing. You know, every athlete out there is like. top of their game, they're training every single day, you know, and that's what it takes to be elite anymore. It's not like the old days when the beer drinking, Pall Mall smoking NASCAR drivers, you know what I mean? It's not like that anymore. Everyone's an athlete, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think the cool thing is these kids running these sim stuff, even though some of it's just like project cars and PlayStation, whatever, they're still racing each other and shoving it down the inside of each other, and there's definitely stuff to learn. But, yeah, I mean, as you start going, that's what I tell them. Like, hey, man, I'm out here every day. Like, I'm doing a workout a day, and I'm not doing it for funsies, you know. I'm preparing when we go back racing. I want to be ready to go racing. So,
not because I love working out.
Yeah, I don't love working out. That's not it. It's definitely not it.
Right.
I'm definitely doing it for a reason. Sometimes I'm working out so I can eat a smash burger at the end of the day, but a lot of times it's so I can race.
Gotcha.
Hey, I missed your Instagram post. You're not posting a bunch on Instagram anymore. You know, all your videos.
Yeah, so I'll be back on there. I'll be back on. I've been doing some work around here that's taking me off time-wise, taking me off Instagram for a little bit. But I'm ready to get back on it here, especially as we get racing, get motivated on that stuff. Just. You know, sometimes I start to worry that, you know, people don't really want to see me spraying yellow jacket nests on the top of the trailer on Instagram. So, but then some people really love it when I'm riding my lawnmower and mowing stuff. So I don't know. I'm torn. But
I think people just like that they see that, you know, like race car drivers like you, professional people. Professional athletes are just normal people. You know, they get away from the track. They got a wife and kids and a house, and they sit down for dinner, and they flip burgers on the barbecue, and you know what I mean? It's they're normal.
Yeah.
You know, normal people. Just they're
for sure.
Enough,
you know,
blessed
just,
enough to be racing.
Yeah, and I agree. Sometimes it becomes you guys know. I mean, sometimes social media becomes a little bit of work, like because you're in the moment, you're doing stuff, but then you got to take your phone out to like, you know, I'm greasy flipping a hamburger. I'm balancing myself 12 feet off the ground on top of my trailer. Should I really have my phone out? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes it's like, is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? But
yeah.
No, it's cool. Chase and I, you know, I'm trying to teach Chase about it because it's a thing. Social media is a thing, obviously. And, you know, trying to make sure he understands the good and bad of it. And what's, you know, what's fun and what doesn't need to be said or talked about. And so, you know, he does a really good job with it also and keeps people in the loop. And, you know, it's crazy how many people I get everywhere I go when I'm racing on the weekends. People will come up like an autograph session and be like, you know what? I love your Instagram posts. I love when you're mowing the lawn or when you stack those tree limbs on top of your golf cart. You know, it's like, what? Really? Okay. All right, I can dig it because it was funny to me too. But sometimes I wonder what people think. But yeah, it's something I think that's if you do it right and I think it's something cool. So I'll get back on it. It's just been, you wouldn't believe it, but being cooped up at home is almost busier for me. You know, I got a list. I got a list of stuff going on.
Holy honey,
the honeydew's big.
Stuff, all the stuff I missed traveling all year long, it's like, oh, man, we got to catch up on this stuff, you know? So We're getting there, though. We're getting there.
Cool.
And hoping to get close to going back out and driving here soon. That's what we're excited about.
I think they're going to try to do it without spectators and stuff. And it's like, how in the heck are they going to do that? It's not where the money comes from to put, you know, to make everything happen. I mean, not obviously not the, you know, other sponsorships that are into it, but I mean, that's where they're trying to get those people too, you know.
I think they got to start trying to do something. I think the right thing is trying to do something, but keep it, you know, to where less people are exposed to each other. But yeah, I'm hoping from the karting side of stuff, you know, we're not a big spectator sport. I'm hoping that we can get going here soon with at least open up some tracks and practicing and, you know, start getting some races in, because man, that'd be a nice start for us. Get going.
Right.
Get on it.
I think everybody's jonesing to race, man, to get in the car, you know.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be – I tell you one thing for sure. We will be supporting everything we can from our local club stuff as much as we can. KPX, we're, like I said, a huge fan of that program. So we're going to do every one of those races. And even when they conflict with mine, Grandpa Les runs chase around – Grandpa Les and Grandma Janet run chase around the country. So he's pretty lucky.
Yeah, he is.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Love it.
But he's a great kid. He's a great kid. You know, I mean, I see him always smiling at the track. No matter what happens, he's always smiling. So it's definitely fun to see him.
Well, that's a big part of our thing, and that's something my parents always told me. Is like, you know, you can be upset, but you're still really, really lucky to be doing what you're doing. So that's what I always tell him. You know, like, you can be upset in your mind and yourself, but we got to keep smiling, because we're doing a lot of things that a lot of people, a lot of kids would give a lot to do, you know, not even money, but they would give a lot to be able to race go-karts every weekend and have that kind of fun. So we got to keep a smile, even though he'd probably tell you on the side that I'm not always smiling inside the trailer. Let's put it that way. I'm not always smiling. There's a lot of intensity between me, Chase, and Grandpa. Let's just say that.
I bet.
Right?
A high level of intensity. We are all set to win, and you know, as much as we try to be nice about getting second, it doesn't sit well in our trailer. So.
Right.
But at the same time, we put the effort in too. We always are putting effort in, and but that's what makes it fun, I think. So,
yeah.
You know, and like I was saying with Steven Eichert, he's always smiling. You know, the kids like that, that's a direct reflection of good parenting, man. You know, so good job on you, brother, for teaching your kid that and, you know, teaching him values and stuff, because I don't think enough people do that anymore. They try to be the kid's best friend, and you can be their best friend, but first and utmost, you got to be a parent and teach them how to be an asset in life. You know, and I think that's not what happens anymore.
I agree. We have a great time around here. We spend a lot of time as a family together. You know, but I also, Natalie and I have pretty high expectations also. You know, we're not going to, like we always say, and a lot of people say, work hard, play hard. We're not only going to play hard. We're going to also work hard.
Right.
So,
right.
But Chase,
if you don't
really
want to work hard,
job.
Then we won't play hard. You know, that's all you just got to take it away then, you know?
Yeah, he's a great student. He does really good in school, and he's, you know, same with my daughter, and so we do whatever we can to continue to race. So, but you know, like
right.
I said before, we're lucky, you know, even with the stuff I do, being driving race cars for a living, I mean, it's still, you know, racing costs money. And so you have to have help. And I know a lot of people, have some help and some don't, but we're lucky to have, you know, like I said, like RLV and VLR and, you know, my buddy, Justin Marks helps out Chase, with his, you know, from Kart Sport North America and Swede Tech, and we have so many people that still help us out.
Couch.
A lot of them because of Couch will get up and ride any time of the night. He's like, when are we going? Let's go. Let's do
it. I
love
it.
For sure.
Love it. Die hard.
But
you guys have been buddies for a long time,
page.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Couch rode through the cartel program, and he was Dan Weldon's favorite mechanic. Yeah, he when Weldon drove for us at Cartel at Supernats, Couch was his wrench, and everybody liked him. I mean, you know, we had Sammy on board, my cousin Sammy. We had pretty good cool crew. in our day.
Right, right. Talk a little bit about the cartel and tell everybody what's all up with that, because I'm sure everyone's seen cartel stickers here, there, you know what I mean? They're all over the place. I see them everywhere. I see sweatshirts on your brother.
I know. We're still – it's one of those things that came up on a late night with me and Eric Bartolero. Like, that's – you know, we're running people around – we're running a couple of people around the country separately. Let's just do it together, you know. In those days, it was Neil Alberico and Ryan Finney and Brendan Finney, the Finney family. We became – basically, we're all family now. But it was like, let's put a program together and – put a bunch of people on a trailer and go racing. And it was kind of before it was really cool. You know, it was now everybody does it, but,
right.
Yeah. I mean, we came up with a name. We spent many nights trying to figure out a name and we were like, this is awesome. We're going to do it like this. And it was a huge hit. The name and the sweatshirts and just the simple logo still is a huge hit. And,
right.
Yeah. I mean, Eric, it came at a time where I didn't have anything going. And then all of a sudden, I mean, literally in a year of having cartel, my ride just picked up. I got the BMW factory deal, and then that turned into DTM. And all around this time, I got the Prairie City Kart Track thing. And so we had the race team. We had the kart shop at the old Emick shop, which Linda let us rent from her, Linda Emick. And then we had the kart, and then we had the kart track also. And it was like, holy cow. And it was so overwhelming because I had to go on the road and Eric was doing it. Then my parents came in and ran the racetrack side of it for the races with Bill McAllister. And there's so much stuff going on. And we just finally had to just back up. And, you know, that was the time when the market and we had the big recession thing and all that. So we had to pull back.
Right.
It wasn't a good time for karting. It was just, we just had to all pull back. And Eric went on to do some other stuff in tuning and moved up to Seattle. And, we all kind of went separate ways from the business standpoint. Everybody's still friends, but, yeah, I mean, it was a good time. It was a good time. It lasted. I mean, I still have a video where Eric and I pulled out of my house and, at like 4 a.m. and started heading for West Palm Beach, and we were leaving from Sacramento and we did nonstop to West Palm Beach, me and Eric, 54 hours straight, just fuel stops, never stopped.
Wow.
And, we have it documented. It's kind of a funny video, but maybe one day it'll end up in the documentary. But it was it was pretty crazy times, man. Pretty crazy times. But again, kind of one of those things where I started doing it to give back to karting. You know, I thought this racetrack thing's a terrible idea, but I'll do it. And got talked into it. And just because I wanted the track to stay alive, at that time nobody was bidding at Prairie City on it. And so it was just going to sit there and go dormant. And, so I did it, and then also with the kart shop, we kind of wanted the Emick thing to live on. We did it under cartel name, but we were still out of the Emick building, and then the kart track, you know, the kart team was, we had a bunch of kids that were dependent on us to learn how to go racing. So I always felt like I was giving back, but I was hoping to make a little money on the deal at the same time, but it wasn't the case. So
you were taking your pay to give back. When you were giving back, you didn't take money.
Yeah, it was more like a charity. I don't know.
Yeah, yep. Volunteering.
But yeah, it was a lot of work, and you know. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just saying it was a lot of work, and you know, trying to do my own career at the same time. You know, running at that time, I was running 16 to 20 races a year, and then doing that with Eric, it was pretty wild. Pretty wild.
Right. Busy times.
Yeah.
Chase, what about you, man? Your dad's telling us about some memories that he's had in karting and in, you know, cars and stuff and some, you know, things. What, you got some memories like that? You got like a race that sticks in your mind and you're like, man, that was the best race ever. Maybe you didn't even get first. You got a second or a third, but it was just the, you know, race of your life. You got the best time ever. Do you have some memories like that? Can you recall any?
Yeah, KPX Monterey in the rain race in the middle of the race, I spun trying to pass into turn four, and I came back and still won.
That was a cool one.
That was cool.
It was last lap, last corner pass for the win. And that
That's
was first
awesome.
KPX win, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, first KPX win ever. And, you know, not easy to win in a KPX race. And older kids, and that was last year, so it was his first year, and just a that was an actual very exciting one, because those ones you don't see coming. You're like, well, he's never driven in the rain, although that's not never raced in the rain. We spent some days out at Prairie City when nobody wanted to go in the wet. You know, Chase was like, can we go out and drive in the wet? I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, I like it, but I don't like it. I love driving in the wet, but I don't like being wet in the wet.
Right.
As a dad, you just stand out. I'm driving around in the golf cart getting soaked, and he's driving around. But, yeah, it paid off, and that was a really awesome race because we were probably a half lap behind at the beginning of the race after we spun, and then just was trucking people in. And, yeah, that was cool. That was also a favorite of mine, honestly.
Nice.
My pockets were full of water. It was so much water.
That
literally
was
my rain this
weekend.
There was a lot of rain.
I raced with your brother, with Phil and Rossi. Were you on our team? No, it was John Bann. John Bann and Phil and I did a Sonoma endurance.
Oh,
He never got to race. My motor blew up on the second, on John Bann. Roy went first. And John went, and then Phil was going to go because he was the lightest, and he had the biggest advantage, you know, because the way the weights went and stuff. And he never even got a start. He was bummed. He was excited to race.
I remember that.
He hadn't raced in a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a bummer. We'll get him back out there.
Yeah.
He's got a cart now, right? He's got a cart.
Yeah, he's got a cart. He's had a cart. He's focused on Audrey, his daughter, though.
Right,
I think more than anything, he's got his engine that he had on his cart, he put on her cart. So I passed down one of Chase's old cadets to her, and then he just threw the engine on it. So that's what she's been driving lately since she just moved up this year to the cadet deal.
Junior
so,
two or junior one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She's doing pretty good, though, man. I mean, I'm watching her coming up, and she just started last year, I think, right? It was her first season.
Better than I expected in the cadet. Yeah, because she was kind of timid with the kid car, and I thought she'd be timid with the cadet. She's not. She really is. She's doing better in the cadet car than she did in the kid car. So I'm a big fan of the, you know, the kid car stuff is cool, but, you know, you can only teach them so much at that level because most of the tracks that we run, I mean, it's like driving a 125 at Willow Springs. It's wide open, right? Like a 125 shifter car at Willow Springs on a race car track, you know, it's wide open. That's every kid kart on every go-kart track around here. It's just kind of wide open. And so there's not a lot of braking to teach. And, you know, I think that's a big thing in driving, obviously. So, you know, it's just when they're kids, you don't want to expect too much. You want them to learn how to turn the wheel, hit the gas, respect other karts, do starts, you know, flags, things like that, and just not really expect much more than that. And then when they get to cadet, that's when you can start to learn, you know, how to drive, braking, letting off the brake,
it's
accelerating.
It's like T-ball when you got kids out in the outfield and the ball never goes in the outfield.
They're picking flowers and swatting butterflies.
Right.
Yeah,
making smiley faces with their feet in the dirt and stuff. And because the ball's not going out
there.
And when it does, they're like, oh my gosh, one came this way. They're not even ready for it because it never happens.
At some point, it's just the experience, right? And that's
exactly.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, and kid car gets pretty extreme. I don't want to dumb it down. I mean, there's a lot of guys running hard, but honestly, you know, everybody I ask that talks to me about a kid car, I'm like, just don't take it too extreme, right? Remember the kid at max 7 years old, and he's got a lot of time to learn how to drive, so.
And you're going to burn them out too. You know, you start them that young and you're up their butt like that hard and stuff. And,
it's possible.
Man, they get burned out, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I see it all the time. And then it becomes when the kid doesn't even want to be there, but the dad wants him there. You know, the kid doesn't even care if he's there.
Yeah. I think that happens a lot, but you know, at least, get to figure it out.
Oh no. Chris Healy just texted me and says, Monterey was the worst experience I ever had in a karting.
we got two
extremes there. We went from the best experience
I will tell you that it went both ways that day. People sucking water in the air filter. And, you know, for us that day, a bunch of guys sucked water. The top three hadn't. Everybody was kind of running. We were running like on a half a cylinder, just like, was it? Who would you pass for the lead? It was Owen Rule, right?
Yeah.
Everybody was kind of chugging on water. just trying to make it to the finish. And so, you know, when you come out on top of the heap, you love it. When you're the one that sucked water, you're like, yeah, I don't like that. And I tell you, we went to Portland for the Nationals, and we were running really good. Super impressed with Chase's run there at Pat's Acres, and got to the wet. We were totally fine, and then we sucked water. And I'm like, you know what? This is my least favorite experience ever. You know, but it was up until then we were running really good. So, but yeah, I mean, we had the other end of the stick that
I hate the rain.
I love it.
I love it.
Monterey was a blast. I mean, the rain would come in and soak the track, soak everybody, and then it would dry out. And then another cloud would roll over. Oh, it had to be tough for you guys to, you know, running two carts, right?
Well,
you guys raced two classes, right?
We ran two carts that weekend too. And so me and my dad were like just huffing and puffing the whole time. But the interesting thing is the four stroke Chase's class, in the 206 class, that always was wet. There was no like, are we going wet or dry? It just happened to be the way the rain came. We were going wet. And so it was pretty much a no brainer. It was the two stroke, the KA though, every time we went up, it was like, is it going to rain? Is it drying? It's drying. Okay, bring a set of wheels. Oh man. Oh, we got dries on. Oh, we're going to go wet. You know, so that one turned into just mayhem. And we made that one. We made the wrong call on that one, but the right call on the four stroke. So we were 50-50. Yeah.
Well, did you guys
what are you going to do?
Slick? You guys put on slicks hoping that it would dry?
We ran wets on the KA. We ran wets even though I just wasn't sure. It was pretty wet to start, but I was pretty sure it was going to dry by the end. But I just didn't think Chase was ready for that on the start. And, yeah, if I'd have been driving, my experience level, I'd have been, yeah, it's dry for sure. But I thought, let's survive this instead of being wrecked in turn one. But ultimately, two guys went on slicks, one wrecked, and one came from last and, like, basically half lapped the field in the last three laps. So it was slicks all the way, but you would have had to hang on for the first 15 laps, you know? So, just another one of those experiences, you know, we can sit here and Chase and I both remember that experience very well, you know, and can talk about it.
That's what it's all about,
making
memories, man.
Yeah. I mean, it was something like, we would do it differently, but you know, who cares?
Right. Something you learn.
It's hard to do that when you have a race like that. It's hard to make that decision, you know, right then. You're like, the last second, well, we put on slicks or we put on rain tires. It's like, okay, we're going to go like this. You're looking at the, you know, radar and, okay, looks like it might, you know, come up. It's a hard one, man. It's a hard one. It happens all the time in racing, right? I mean, you get that too, I imagine, you know, where it's like, man, I should have rain tires on.
Yeah.
You know?
In our stuff, man, they put a lot of pressure on the driver. So it's like, you know, everybody, we spend a lot of time looking at the crossover and times and when the dries are going to cross over the wets or vice versa, and then you know you're like, who's going to be the first one to go to wets? Because the first one to go to wets and can just get some tire temp in them is definitely going to be out in front, most likely win the race. And so it's just who can get it out of the pits, who can get it, you know, in through the first couple corners on cold tires, then you're the guy. So if you're talking about a track like Road America, which it's happened to me before, and you've got a huge lap, you know, a 4 mile track, and it's 2 minutes, 20 seconds, it changes. That changes your whole outlook on it. Versus Lime Rock, 58 seconds. You know every corner, you're doing it every 50 or 55 seconds. So you see, oh, it's drying, I'm diving the pits. Road America, if you miss and you pass the pit lane, you have 2 minutes and 5 seconds to get back there. And if the guy behind you pitted, you might already lose 12 seconds in the first outlap. So, you know, there's a lot to go with it, but. Yeah, go-karts, it's different. It's all standing on the grid. What do you take? You know?
Yep.
So,
what about, like, communication stuff between you guys? You know, was it tough at first for Chase to say, okay, Dad, well, my cart's tight, it's doing this, it's doing that, or did you kind of train him to teach you what's going on with his cart, you know?
It's a work in progress.
Okay,
he still doesn't do that. He's
right.
We're working on that. You know, the feedback part of it is huge as you move up. That's something
it's hard, you know, that I learned.
I mean, if you never want it, when you get to a level where you have an engineer, like in the race car world, you want your engineer to do the work. But I always believe that you should have a good idea of how to engineer the car, right? You don't want to do it. but you want to have an idea of how to do it so you can explain it properly. And the same goes for an engineer. You're best off to have an engineer that's wheeled a race car before around a racetrack. You're going to have the best communication with that person. So, you know, Chase, I mean, he's lucky because I've tuned go-karts since I was 11. So, you know, I've worked with a lot of kids. And so with my own eyes, I can say, oh, we got push. And I can come in and say, I can see by the tire texture that we got understeer, or, you know, axle stiffness by the inside wear, the inside of the rear tire, or whatever, you know. So he's kind of been maybe a little bit too lucky to where he hasn't had to say too much, you know. So at the same time, you know, again, at the level he's at, you know, the focus should be on driving, you know, just focus on driving, focus on driving, focus on driving. And there's definitely more there than anywhere. And you bolt on some horsepower and you have good tires when it's time to have good tires, it really shouldn't be too far off. You know, go-karts today, you know, whether you're driving an FA like us or VLR, I mean, you can, there's a lot of baseline setups right out of the box that'll get you. I mean, we don't venture very far from baseline, you know, even if, I mean, I try it. And trust me, I go out on the days when he's not able to go to the track, I'm at the track and I'm running through stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, baseline's pretty good. So at least we got that going for us. I don't need to get too crazy, you know. So
that's one thing I love about my VLR is it's I don't have to go very far either way, you know, from the baseline, and it's good at every track.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most, and that's, you know, it depends on what you're doing, but I mean, if you got an old go kart, you might have to tune a little more. But a lot of stuff nowadays is pretty refined, I'll say. So you know, you might add a little caster here and there and whatever, but when you get it, you know, I always tell people try and stick with a shop. You know, I don't because I am my own kind of tuner or shop, right? But, you know, if you're new to it, you know, always stick to a shop, you know, whether it's Leading Edge or Donald Durbin, whatever, you know, if you want to be able to ask questions of somebody and you buy a Praga, you're going to be able to go to Greg Bell and say, hey, what do I do? And that guy runs all over the country and is going to know the answer to your question, right?
Right.
Or Burrell with Don Durbin or VLR around here, you can call up RLV easily, you know? So I always tell people when, you know, stick with some of the local people because that's when you are in the trenches, you're going to want to be able to ask for help, you know?
Right, right. So I watch people get these carts that there's no – I mean, even like Tony Kart, it's hard to get some help. You know what I mean? There's
Yeah, you got some guys around here now. Like Boswell runs the stuff, and he's always willing to help, even though he doesn't sell stuff. And you got Austin Elliott doing his thing here in Rancho Cordova now. He's selling the Esprit brand or whatever you call it. It's a Tony Kart brand, and he's always willing to help. So you have some people around. I mean, I was on Kart. We have Kart Republic stuff because, like I said, Justin Marks helps us. But I'm going to find my way on my own, you know. So, but I still need help. I mean, when I was running Praga, I was still calling Greg Bell, and I still ask Austin Elliott about seat positions and just to help me out a little bit and have an idea, you know. So, I mean, you got Gary Carlton around town too. I mean, we're fortunate here. We have – most people don't know that Northern California is the mecca of karting in all of the world. Like, we literally have more racetracks than any other place in the world. No other place has this many racetracks.
Why do you say we don't have the most racers?
Well, because it's a difficult time anywhere. I mean, you don't have a lot of racers really anywhere. But I believe that because, you know, Northern California is not L.A., right? We have a lot of people working in the state of California. Most of my family works for the state of California. My wife works for the state of California. My brother, almost everybody I know works for the state of California. And I can tell you in 1995, state workers were making not much less than they are now. And the go-karts cost $1,500 versus $5,500, right? So it's very difficult for most people to go to their other half and say, hey, I want to get a $5,500 go-kart for the kid, and that's going to require us to have a 12-foot trailer and a truck that we may or may not have, right? There's a lot to go with it, you know, and that's why I'm personally a huge fan of the whole 206 thing, and everybody sticking to that I think is a great idea, because, you know, I can literally go get my friend a $950 a 206 package and bolt it onto a $12 or $15 go-kart. And then we're closer.
Right.
Now we're closer. Right. But I think another issue is that, you know, we're not super well known, although we are more mainstream than we used to be. Because when I was in high school, I was the only go-karter. Now, when you say you're a go-karter, you know, especially with social media, like Chase's buddies, they know, oh, yeah, go-karts, like those ones, not like backyard carts, right? But I still think we could do better. Yeah, but I still think you do better in ways like, you know, utilize indoor karting as your front door and try and, you know, make a relationship with K1s all around the area and say, hey, you know, you're going to have a percentage of people that want to go just come in and drive and leave. You have a percentage of people that come in and drive like, I want to do more. So they come for more, and then they want to do a league, and they do a league. And then there's always going to be, I always use 10%, 10% of people always moving on. And then they're like, what's next? Oh, outdoor karting. Okay. Go see your local track and hopefully have rental karts like at Prairie City. Go drive those. You like that? Okay. Now your next level is to buy a 206 on a used go-kart. Okay. Now you're racing. That's, I think you just need a better front door personally. Because to get a person first timer out to Prairie City or out to Davis or out to Dixon is not a reasonable thought, right? They're not, people aren't going to drive 15 miles off of Highway 80 to the Dixon kart track to see their first go-kart race. It's just not going to happen. So I think you just need to utilize the things we have. Social media, I think, is a huge thing. I think you need to, it would be great to do something with K1. You know, I've mentioned it many times because I have a relationship with K1. They've sponsored Chase a little bit in his indoor stuff early on, and I know some of the owners. So, like, if we could utilize some of that stuff and get – we need more people into karting, because you're always going to have – the influx has to be bigger than the outflux if you're going to have more people racing, right? And so many people have reasons to quit karting, whether it be jobs or, you know, one parent doesn't like it or – money, you know, obviously money, whatever.
Right.
Scared of it.
It's the cheapest form of racing, but it's still expensive.
Yeah, and I mean, dude, I raced RC cars for a long time also, and there was the same influx and outflux. You're always losing people. People are like, well, this is also expensive, and it's taking up my time. Can't do it. Girlfriend says I can't do it, or whatever. There's no excuse. So there's always an excuse, but I think you just need – we need to find a way to have a better front – we need a bigger and better front door for karting is what I think. But
Right. You know, without the 206, I wouldn't be racing.
Yeah. A lot of people would.
Racing. Oh, wow.
That
39 o'clock, man.
keep in mind the 206 is what senior – what I started was like senior sports. And it was a Yamaha three-hole can. And literally my dad bought – I used all the go-karts he bought his first day of buying a go-kart. One was $1,200, came with a suit and helmet. One was $1,500, you know, I mean, and these things were ready to go out and drive. And, you know, we need one starter for the four of us and whatever. But, you know, that's why I think the 206 is a great plan. It gets people in there, you know.
I think it's great for, you know, in NorCal, the 206, because the cost effective and how cheap it was, you know, people couldn't afford the tag motors. And I think it's a great platform to race off. I've had a lot of fun with it. You just have to
keep it going. I mean, there's always going to be something, but I mean, at that price point, it would be tough to have a two stroke of any sort, work out. I mean, like I said, I mean, I know what it costs. It costs $950. When people ask me, is $950 for a complete 206 package. Okay. But that's from scratch. So after that, we all know it's $450 or whatever for an engine if you were to put a hole in it, which I haven't done one of. I have five or six of them in my life. So, I mean, it's definitely the price point you need for Northern California. I mean, if you look at LA, you can't really say there's more people racing. I don't think, but it just, they're coming from further away and they have, possibly you haven't using the people that have more money. What I mean? So, I don't know. I think, but again, keep in mind, we have, I mean, within 200 miles, what do we have? 7 or 8 racetracks? I mean,
there's a lot.
Trust, there's not, it doesn't happen. My friends in Atlanta have to drive 1.5 hours to get to one track. People in Florida are driving 2-3 hours to get to different tracks, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Right.
But.
And then there's, I mean, and then in LA, they're all racing on one track, like 2 or 3 different clubs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. 2 or 3 clubs doing the same thing, but. Yeah, I mean, I wish I had the answer. I think karting has a lot of potential, but there's still a lot of dedication to it. You know what I mean? So
right.
No matter if it's 206 or not, you still got to dedicate.
Right. Well, Joey, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight, man. I think you got good insight for everybody out there, you know, on what could be and what it takes. And, you know, I mean, it's not an easy thing to go, you know, the direction that you went and you did it. So congratulations on that. Congratulations on all your success, too. It's amazing.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, it was fun, guys. Appreciate it. It's always cool to talk about this stuff and bring up some memories.
Even if
the memories are flipping down the back straightaway at Mid-Ohio, it's all good.
Or water in your pocket from Monterey.
water in Monterey, yeah. All good stuff, though. We're still, like I was saying, we're living to talk about it, so.
Exactly.
It's all fine.
That's right.
Out having fun. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, Chase. I know I didn't get you in there a lot, but we'll have you back. I'm going to do a kids' night where we just got all kids on here. Would you be interested in coming on the show with a bunch of other people that you race with?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you want somebody to keep the show going. You got to get Healy on there. Trenton Healy.
Oh, boy.
Right?
He could probably host the show himself. But
He could.
Healy,
I think he has.
I think Healy and Iser and Chase and who else? Barnwell, maybe. He doesn't talk very much either, but something like that. Who's racing these kart races every night and just put them all on here so they can talk to each other.
Right. Maybe we'll do a race or something. Or we can all race.
Yeah, there you go.
You know?
Yeah. 10-4.
Maybe something like that. But All right, man, it's been fun, but I appreciate it. And I'd love to have you back on maybe like, you know, mid-season or something when you get back to racing and check in with us every once in a while.
Yeah, for sure. We do it.
All right.
You got my number.
Yeah,
all right, guys.
Sure,
well, I hope
sure.
hope to see you guys at the racetrack sooner than that.
Oh,
I do,
man,
too.
You will.
Like
it'll happen.
Maybe a few weeks be right for me.
I hope so.
Talk to your brother. Tell your brother he's getting socked in his nose because he didn't come.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened.
He didn't respond to me either, so don't feel bad.
Me either. kind of makes me worry. You know?
He never maybe he got lost on his way home. Same with me.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys.
Well, everybody,
have a good one.
That's the hand, man.
You too. Thanks, Joey.
I can't say enough about Joey and Chase. They're just a couple of stand-up guys, man. I mean, they're just really, really nice guys, Rossi, right?
They are. Great family.
Yeah, really, really. I mean, all the way through Phil and the whole family, you know what I mean? I love seeing the kids. That's third generation, you know, that they got going now, and that's cool to see, too. That's dedication to karting right there. But
yeah, man, we're going to keep on going, too.
Right. Yeah.
All right, you guys, listeners
out there, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. I know we went a little bit over, but what do you expect, man? We got Joey Hand on the phone. You know what I mean? I'm not going to tell him that we got to go. Well, I guess I kind of just did, but I don't know what even to say, man. That was like my funnest show ever because, you know, for me, Rossi, it's like, I get starstruck with guys like that. You know, some people, like, they see Tom Cruise, and they get starstruck. You know what I mean? Not me. I can give a care about Tom Cruise. But when I see Joey Hand, I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's a professional race car, you know, the driver. And that I get excited over that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. I remember Joey when he was racing with Emek and then went to the Formula Mazdas and then the Toyota Atlantic. I kind of followed him through that, you know, that whole phase. I used to work on race cars. And so it's kind of neat to see where he is today and with the family. And now his son's out there racing. And I guess his daughter's going to be out there racing pretty soon. So it's really neat to see that.
Right. I mean, that's a true whole racing family. You know, mom raised, dad raised, daughter, son. I mean, everybody raises. You know what I mean? That's a true racing family. And like I said, folks, it takes dedication, like Joey was saying. You know, he it took a lot. He did a lot to get to where he's at. He didn't just sit on the couch and was playing, you know, video games. That's not what happened. You know, it's a lot of work, man. That's all I can say. It's a lot of work. So if you think you're going to get there, you got to work hard.
Well, they didn't have the COVID-19 back then, Harrell. So, you know, that's the reason why we're all sitting on the couch now, you know, eating bonbons and playing video games.
Right, yeah. I guess we're at a disadvantage, aren't we?
Definitely. We need to get back to the track.
I'm telling you, I need to bad. I'm jonesing. Especially after talking to Joey. He gets me all excited on it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But, all right, well, thank you guys so much for listening in tonight. I know it was a long night, but, man, without you listeners, we don't have nothing. Thanks to all our sponsors, the KPX, Nevada Kart Sport. I can't say enough about both of them. They help us out here tremendously, and we're going to have another good show next week. Maybe we'll try to get the kids out here next week. So have a good rest of your week. Try to get out there and drive if you can. If you can't, don't go drive. This is Harrell. This is Hump Day with Harrell, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio.